Maybe someone should bless us pray out for unity.
Okay. Thank you, Gary, for the introduction. Thank you for the welcome to be here with you today. I bring Christmas and New Year greetings from my wife, Julie, my two boys, Micah and Owen, and my mum.
好多謝可以同大家一齊啦。我帶住我屋企人嘅成員同新年嘅問候啦。我太太Julie啦，兩個小朋友Michael and Owen同我媽咪嘅問候。
And I also bring well wishes from the Millhill East Community Church. That's the local church that I worship in at the moment for the last 8 months. Yeah, and as Gary said, I grew up in a Chinese church in London and I served with a Chinese church in London for 10 years as a pastoral worker.
就好似Gary先生所介紹啦，我係喺中國華人教會度長大啦，我喺華人教會度同工咗十年，超過十年做教會同工嘅。And
early last year, we transitioned out of Chinese Church in London, and we've been worshiping in a local church for the last year.
舊年年初啦，我哋就慢慢嚟開咗私家啦，我哋就去咗我哋當地嘅教會度服侍，我哋喺度做而家為止。
Despite that, the Chinese Christian community in the UK is something that's really close to my heart. And so it's a real joy and a privilege for me to be here today. And I just want to thank Fiona for the leaders of this church for inviting me to be here with you today.
所以今日係對我講好榮幸，可以喺呢度同大家一齊崇拜啦，都好多謝教會嘅領袖嚟邀請我今日同大家一個分享。Now,
Fiona told me that I could preach on anything I wanted, but she did tell me that your church theme this year is to be united in Christ. What it means to be united in Christ.
Fiona 同我講過話，我可以分享咩信息都可以嘅，但咧佢都同我講，我哋今年
And I thought that is a wonderful theme. It's a theme that is also really close to my heart. It's something, to be honest, I'm working out, I'm struggling with as my family get to working out, we're working out how to be part of a Christian community that's so different from the Chinese church community that I grew up in. Something that I'm wrestling with and my family is wrestling with at the
moment.
And that might be, you may also have your own questions. What does it mean to be unified in Christ? How do we live out this unity? Even today, as we are in a translated service, all of these things on Zoom, how are we unified in Jesus? And so, as I was praying and I was preparing for today, I was led to reflect on this beautiful passage from the Gospel of John, from chapter 17.
當我喺度準備緊嘅時候，我嘅禱告準備嘅時候，神就帶領去到一個好靚一段經文嘅段，就係我哋嘅約翰福音十七章。And
it's called the priestly prayer of Jesus. It's the prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples just after he washes their feet in the Last Supper.
呢個都係所謂嘅分離禱告，呢個禱告就係喺耶穌
And you know, I'll invite you to read the whole of chapter 17 when you have time. But I want to jump straight into the middle of that passage, to verse 20. Because I believe we find something here that is amazing for us. Let's look at verse 20 together. I'll read it out for us again. And so if you have your Bibles, have them open as well so you can see what I'm reading. Okay, this is verse 20. I do not ask for these only, these being his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. But also those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus is praying for us. And not only is he praying for us, but in verse 21, he's praying for our unity. If you want to know what it means to be unified in Christ, then there's no better place, I think, than to come to a passage where Jesus prays for us and our unity with him. Not only should that be an encouragement to us, right, that Jesus actually wants what we are wanting. But also, if we want to know what this unity looks like, we have to come to Jesus. We want to see how Jesus describes this unity. Okay, so what does the prayer of Jesus teach us about unity with him? I want to pick out two things. There's two things that I think this passage teaches us which we want to
understand.
Firstly is this, Christian unity is based on our divine identity in Jesus. Secondly is that Christian unity is missional. These two things can't be separated. And so let's look at our divine identity in Jesus first. So I'm going to read verse 21. Look at verse 21 with me. That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. These words are incredible because they paint for us a picture of the very nature of God. It's passages like this that form the foundation for how we speak about the God that we serve. It's how we work out our theology. And if you spend any time studying or reading into Trinitarian theology, you will know that the journey of the church and how we understand them and how we speak about God in this way is really messy. Our human words, our meanings, our understanding, our language, they often fail us and they continue to kind of constrain us when we try and speak about God. But when we look at this passage and we look at Jesus' own words, we have a guide. This is the guiding post for how the church speaks about God in three persons, in his divine persons.
Uh,
And what we see is that the way that Jesus defines himself and his Father God, these are ways in which describe these unique relationships of how we call our God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. But it's also these words that describe the relationship, the unity between God Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. You see, we're going to talk about or call God the Eternal Father, then there must be an Eternal Son. If there's no Son, then there can't be a Father. Any other way around, if there's no Father, then what does it mean to call Jesus the Son? So we can't speak about God unless we speak about Him in these distinct, separate relationships, and yet also we can't speak about God unless we speak about His unity. And it's this divine unity that Jesus asks His Father to draw us into. Okay, now you may be sitting there and thinking in your head, Tim, this is giving me a headache. Why is this encouraging to us? Okay, I believe one glorious way that this is encouraging to us. Christian unity is God's unity. There's nothing that we do to generate this unity. Our Christian unity depends and is eternally held solely by God Himself. So when you believe in Jesus, our identity is drawn into Jesus' identity in such a close way that we're then unified to the Father through Jesus. And at the same time, we hold our unique selves as well. Our souls remain ourselves, and yet we are with Jesus and with the Father. And that's what draws the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to describe the unity we have with Jesus as being part of His body. So if you read with me in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13. I'll read it for us. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. How is this miracle possible? Let's continue reading in John 17, verses 22 to 23. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me.
第二節，你所賜給我的榮耀，我已賜給他們，使他們合而為一，像我們合而為一。我在他們裡面，你在我裡面，使他們完完全全地合而為一，叫世人知道你差遣我來，也知道你愛他們，如同愛我一樣。It's
made possible because Jesus shares with us his glory.
这个可能呢，就因为耶稣佢将神嘅荣耀分享俾我哋。
Which is another way of saying that Jesus shared with us the very center of himself, the thing that makes him divine.
亦都換句話講，就係話耶穌分享咗嗰啲令到佢神性嘅，佢最忠心嘅嘢分享咗俾我哋。
And again, our words, the words that we have, fail us when we try and describe or understand what that could look like, what that means.
真係美中不足，冇辦法去表達出、描述出呢個好呢個關係。
But we look at what Jesus says again, and he says this: "The glory that you, the Father, have given me, your Son, I give to them, that they may be perfectly one."
當我哋再睇翻耶穌自己嘅話喺廿二節，你所賜給我的榮耀，我已賜給他們。
What makes the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Son's relationship perfect?
是什么令到这个天父和圣子他们的关系完美呢?
It is that they are in one Spirit, and it's that Spirit, this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we receive, that's given to us.
就是他们是同在一起，这个就是圣灵，这个就是我们所接受的圣灵。
It's this Spirit that unifies us into Jesus and the Father.
这个圣灵都是帮助我们与神与耶稣和父是合一的。
As Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, as to be formed in one body."
就好似使徒保罗喺嗰两处宣教讲话，都从一位圣灵受死，成了一个身体。
Now we'll look a bit more about what it means to glorify or to have Jesus' glory a bit later, but for now, this is good news for us. It's good news for us because it means that God answers Jesus' prayer with yes.
这个是对我们一个好的消息，因为呢，神已经应许了耶稣嘅祷告啦。
If you believe in Jesus, then you are unified with Jesus.
如果你相信耶稣，你已经与耶稣系合而为一。
Our unity does not come from what we do, but it comes from whose we are. We are part of Jesus' body.
这个合一唔系基于我哋做咗啲乜嘢，而系基于我哋嘅身份，因为。
We are united in Christ.
你我是与耶稣合一的。
So is that it? Is that what this whole year will be about? We can move on now to next year and the next theme for next year. That's where we are.
咁系咪话，即系话我哋乜都唔需要做啦？我哋今年已经搞掂啦。我哋系咪去谂下明年2023年嘅主题咧？
Of course not.
当然唔系啦。
That's the encouragement, but the challenge comes to us when we think about, well, what does it mean for us to display? What does it mean for us to live out this unity that we have? And I believe that Jesus' words give us a key point for us as we self-reflect, that actually Christian unity is missional. So look back with me to verses 20 and 21, and we'll pick out some key points that Jesus uses to tell us what does it mean for us to believe in him.
我睇翻呢個《約翰福音》十七章二十到廿節，呢度有啲好重點。耶穌同佢講話點樣先至係為之係相信佢。
So in verse 20, he says, they believe in me, that we believe in Jesus through their words, through the disciples' words. Believe what? Verse 21. So that the world may believe that you the Father sent me. What Jesus' prayer tells us is that our unity with him is not just about our divine identity being transformed into his body. It's also about our participation, our joining in with his divine purpose and activity. So the words of the apostles in verse 20, these are the words that the Father gives to the Son, gives to us, these words of truth through Jesus. And these words are the words that we have in the Bible. Our Bible is this word. From beginning to end, it is the written form that describes the glory, the goodness, the character of God. But it's not enough to just have these words in a book that we give to people. As Jesus' body, we are the physical presence of Jesus in this world. And in the way that we live, in the way that we act, in the way that we preach and speak, we represent Jesus, his truth, his glory, his goodness, his character. And this is where what we're told in verse 23 about being given Jesus' glory and representing it, this is where it gives us another guideline to what it means to be unified in him. In the Bible, the word glory draws together a group of themes. It speaks about how we recognize something's weight, or how we understand and recognize someone's reputation, or how we honor them, how are they worthy of honor. It forms actually the basis of how we understand the word worship, what we give our attention to, what we give our heart to, what are we going to worship and give our devotion to. So in the Old Testament, God's presence, God's glory, is almost always revealed through a single person. It's the king, or the prophet, or a single place, the burning bush, the temple. And what we see time and time again is that in the Old Testament, when humans interact or come into God's presence, they are filled with holy dread.
Uh,
So you look back in Isaiah 6 and you see Isaiah's vision of God and his throne room. And he throws himself to the ground. He says, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, I'm dead." And then, or in Exodus 19, when there's the warning about touching God's holy mountain, that anything living that touches God's holy mountain will die. God's presence is too holy. It is it's too pure for human beings. Our sinfulness means that we cannot stand in the presence of God. But when we look into the New Testament, we find that when we talk about God's glory, when the writers talk about God's glory, they always connect to Jesus, to the way that Jesus represents and reflects God's character and glory in who he is and what he does. So the writer in Hebrews, talks about the display of God's glory in Jesus in this beautiful way in Hebrews 1:1-3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to us, our fathers, by the prophets. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is the radiance of God and his glory. And what is the key attribute that Jesus wants to show when displaying his Father's glory? I believe that attribute can be found at the end of verse 23, John 17, verse 23. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. The attribute is love. So how do we best manifest God's glory amongst us? We best display God's glory through our love. Just as Jesus commanded his disciples in John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Paul really uses the metaphor of the body. He then speaks about our unity in love in this way.
一個耶穌身體呢個比喻嚟到講到話，我哋喺基督中嘅合一。
The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the bodies that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, so that there should be no division in the body, but that each part should have equal concern for one another. For when one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And when one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it.
在哥林多前書十二章廿一到廿六節，凡眼不能對手說我用不著你，頭也不能對腳說我用不著你。不但如此，身上肢體人以為軟弱的，更是不可笑的。身上肢體我們看為不體面的，越發給他加上體面；不盡美的，越發得著盡美。我們盡美的肢體，自然用不著裝飾，但神配搭這身子，把加倍的體面給那有缺乏的肢體，免得身上分門別類，總要肢體彼此相顧。若一個肢體受苦，所有肢體就一同受苦；若一個肢體受榮耀，所有的肢體就一同快樂。
So this coming, I pray that this church, as you step forward in growing in your unity, I pray that you would have these two questions in mind.
新的一年我為了教會禱告，希望我們教會是向前行的時候，
Is the unity that we pursue missional? And is love at the center of our unity? You know, there's so many things that as churches we can do and plan when we want to be unified. But I believe that we truly want to be growing in our unity with Jesus, then we've got to ask ourselves how much of our planning is focused on experiencing and displaying the glorious gospel to the world. Or how much of our planning is actually more about giving us a sense of safety or convenience or for our benefit? We live in a time at the moment where I know that as churches we have been stretched. We have felt the burden, and we are stretched to the limits in many different ways. Resources, but even just in our relationships. How do we love each other? How do we know each other?
所有的資源上面，真係都係無論資源上面或者我哋人嘅關係上面，都係即係拉到到極端啦。
So I pray that this church would be led by the Holy Spirit and would have the desire and discernment to be able to just really ask these questions and let go of things that might not really be to do with Jesus' unity and might not really be to do with displaying His love to one another.
我都為教會禱告，希望教會有咁嘅智慧同埋咁嘅咁嘅意願，願意去對一啲嘢去放手。呢啲嘢就係唔係真係幫助我哋去展示出耶穌嘅愛，同埋唔係真係喺佢嘅福音事工上面嘅。我哋可以適合去放手。
I pray that at the end of the year, when people describe or talk about this church, it won't be about a great kind of church branding team, or that you all can recite the vision perfectly, or even that your worship teams would be perfectly in tune or perfectly unified. But instead, I hope that what is heard about this church will be very simple but very deep things. Actually, their service is really simple. Really, the whole thing, everything they did was just pointing to Jesus. Pointing to Jesus. Or even, yeah, you know, this church, it had disagreements. They had big disagreements. But what came out of it and what was felt was that they were able to speak to each other. They were able to love each other and speak truthfully with one another. How can each of you contribute to that kind of loving community? Who do you need to notice and give thanks for and celebrate? Who do you need to rejoice with and celebrate with? Who do you need to grieve with and feel pain with? Who do you need to ask for forgiveness from? Who do you need to forgive? And finally, for your leaders, I invite you all to just take up the posture of Jesus. Would you do that? Would you do that in January, in your meetings? I'm sure you've got all the meetings already planned in January. But for the first half of these meetings, would you take on that posture of prayer that Jesus takes? To firstly give God the glory and the praise for the unity that is ours. And secondly, to ask for the Holy Spirit to unite you, to unite us in this pursuit for this missional, loving heart of God. And from that posture of worship and prayer, to let your plans follow Jesus and to be with Jesus. Will you join me as I pray for us and I pray just to close? Lord Jesus, we thank you for, Lord, your obedience to your Father. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for drawing into the great love that you have with your Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you we are united. We find our unity in you.
主，我哋好多谢你喺你当中，我哋揾到合一，我哋喺当中。
So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would tune our hearts to your heart.
主啊，我哋祈求你帮助我哋去将我哋嘅心转向你。
And that you would allow us to see each other in the way that you see us.
就好似我哋要互相对互相好似你对我哋每一个咁样。
Lord, let us treat each other with love, with your love.
主啊，你帮助我哋去对每一个好似有爱心，有从你而嚟嘅爱心。
So that Lord God, this world will know that we are yours, that we are your disciples.
所以呢个世界会知道我哋系属于你嘅。
In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
我哋用耶稣基督嘅名。